Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
Four five three 106 is our local number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. You can send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com or forward us on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter. You were just listening there to One Horse Pony. That was the first song they're going to be giving us today. It's called Muddy Waters. If you want to catch them live, they'll be in Cocklands Live in Cork tomorrow night in the Crane Bar Theatre on Tuesday, March the 5th in the White Rabbit Bar in Cork on Paddy's Day. Then in the Kilkenny Roots Festival on the 5th of May. They'll be playing in the Clonmel Busking Festival on the 9th and then up to Armagh on the 10th and 11th of August for the Seven Hill Blues Festival. They do have a website as well, onehorsepony.com. We can find out more about them. Thanks a million, lads, for that. We are in the River Lee Hotel in Cork, with thanks to Lidl, in front of a live audience. So hello, live audience. That's just to prove that they are alive, that they're there. We are going to give a prize for the best text from this audience. The prize is afternoon tea for two people with Prosecco. It's based on what they, Claire and Neve over there, deem to be the best text that is sent in to 53106. Also, as well, they're going to give away a similar prize to listeners, not people in the room. That's dinner for two people with a bottle of wine here in the River Club. Again, that's for the best text. We are joined up on the stage, though, by Dean McGuinness and Serena Bellissimo. Good afternoon to you.
Hey.
To you
both. Hello.
Bit of controversy today, I would have thought, in terms of the movies we're going to be talking about, Serena.
Are you talking about Isn't It Romantic, starring Rebel Wilson and Liam Hemsworth?
Yeah, that's highly, highly controversial.
Or the other Liam's Cold Pursuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it sort of bombed, didn't it?
I don't know, did it?
Yeah, yeah. It opened in the States at 10. Well, they cancelled. Should we tell people? Everyone's heard.
Yeah, everybody knows what he said and all that.
Yeah. Okay, so basically, after his revenge comments, they cancelled the premiere in New York, and then they opened it in the States, and it opened at just over $10 million.
Okay.
One of his lowest openings ever. I mean, The Commuter, which opened at the start of last year, took in $14 million. So, like, his movies haven't been doing that great anyway. Mm. But a lot of people who like this type of movie are saying this is probably his best movie in a long time. So a pity. I'm not saying that, by the way, but a lot of other people are saying that. So it's a pity that a lot of people probably won't go see it based on his comments.
Mm. The thing is, a lot of the movies he's done in recent years have been character played by Liam Neeson, something bad is done to them, and then they randomly go off and kill a load of people.
This is the issue.
Like, who knew it was a biopic?
I'm leaving that.
Yeah, that's typecasting, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so this is the thing, right? Because Taken came out in 2008, and when it came out in 2008, I think he was about 56, 57 at the time. No one had seen him as this action hero, and he was this surprise action hero. And it was like, okay, we can see Liam Neeson doing a lot of this. But then even if what happened didn't happen, how much more can you see of Liam Neeson playing Liam Neeson, seeking revenge? And, like, these movies seem to be getting more and more ridiculous as the body count gets higher. And I just can't watch these creative ways that they want us to laugh at. Like, apparently it's supposed to be a bit of a comedy. I don't know where. I think I spent too much time sort of like just covering my eyes in disgust. But the way they're killing off characters as well are getting more and more creative.
Okay, well, I mean, there's something different about it then. Or they're running out of ideas.
They're running out of ideas.
But could this be Liam Neeson's last ever movie?
I don't think so.
Do you think not? He'll somehow rehabilitate himself?
I think he will. Do you not?
Ooh, I don't know. Essentially, it's been interpreted as wanting to go out and kill a black man specifically.
I totally agree.
In the current climate, particularly in Hollywood, he'd be toxic, I would have thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if the right script comes along, and this doesn't make it right. This is such a hard topic to talk about because it doesn't make it right.
Movies though anymore, there'd be a kind of.
But he may not open for a while. But what they'll do is they'll introduce him as a bit of a side character,
right?
And then I think people will just, it's sad to say, but people will just forget, and I think they'll move on.
Yeah,
yeah. Which
or he'll become a huge star in the Deep South and have KKK rallies.
Do you know what,
movies.
Sean? Nothing would surprise me anymore in this current climate.
Yeah. So, Dean, I know you have a series of controversial opinions on Liam Neeson yourself, but before we get to them, what beers are we going to be drinking?
We are tasting
today?
Three beers. They're own label beers from Lidl, so they're the Crafty Brewing Company beers. We've got an Irish IPA made with American hops in honour of Serena, an American brown ale, and an Irish stout.
Okay. Why American hops in
honour
of Serena?
Well, actually, now that I've said that, I'm kind of wondering whether I should have said that. They're called Victoria's Secret.
Right. No, you keep digging, Dean.
Well, we just call him Liam?
Because Serena's Australian.
And from, okay, right.
And, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And from Victoria. Whoa. Yeah, from Victoria. There you go.
From Victoria.
There you go.
Ah, right. Yeah. We took the tourist route to that point. Yes, we certainly did. At least he's not going to burst out into Antipodean impersonation such as Tomas does.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You can be thankful for that. The whole thing about your nationality just hangs in the air the whole time, doesn't it?
Yes, but can I tell you something? Yes. Today on the train ride up down somewhere from Dublin to Cork, down, thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, the train ride from Dublin to Cork, I was sitting next to a Cork woman. Her accent was very, very thick. Anyway,
hang on, can I just point something out to these people in this room? Your accent is very, very thick.
But this is what I'm saying, right? So I was talking to this Cork woman.
Where are the Colchis here? Just can remember that.
But she asked me, her grandson was called Liam, and I said Liam, and she went, oh, I love the way Dubs pronounce Liam.
There you go. We all sound the same.
We do, don't we?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Yes, Terry points out quite correctly, this is not Liam Neeson's last movie. He's the upcoming remake of Men in Black. Yeah. I kid you not.
But we saw what happened with it took a while to get there. It took a scene or two.
Eamon wants to know, could you please ask the movie critic whether there is a confirmed release date in Ireland for The Wandering Earth? No is the answer there. That's what I'm taking from the look on Serena's face. Cold Pursuit has 72% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's a very strong score. People not go and see it, but the critics seem to really like it.
The critics, if you are into this type of film, the critics who are into this type of film have actually said this is probably one of Liam Neeson's strongest in a long, long time. I disagree with that, and not because of what's happened. I just didn't really enjoy it.
Kieran, on a completely different subject, says, our hashtag, by the way, is Monster Movies. For fairly obvious reasons. Kieran says, could you please ask the good people of Cork why they want to be like Dublin so much and be the capital? Also, if they do get independence, surely that would leave all the people of Cork with a huge void in their lives, having no longer to go on about being their own republic. Thank you, says Kieran. Whoa. thanks for killing the atmosphere in the room, Kieran. Right, shall we quickly move on to our first beer and pretend none of that happened?
Okay, right. So we've got an Irish IPA from Crafty Beer Company. Now, Crafty Beer Company is a brand that Lidl have developed. The beers are brewed by Rye River Brewing Company that do McGargles. And this is an Irish IPA. Now, Irish IPA is a style, and for people who wonder, Serena doesn't drink beer, which is the reason why we're not passing a beer over to Serena, just in case you...
Not pregnant, I'm gluten intolerant. Just putting that out there.
You brought it up now, everyone's wondering.
Everyone was thinking it, right? I have family listening, I want them to know.
So. I bet you told that woman on the train you were pregnant, but she didn't understand your thick accent.
So this is an Irish IPA. Now, Irish IPA as a style is kind of an unusual name for a style. You do normally have English IPA and American IPA. And usually when they put a country in front of IPA, it's a reference to where the hops come from. In Ireland, some of the Irish brewers started doing Irish pale ales and abbreviating it to Irish to IPA, and now they're starting to do Irish IPA. A lot of the Irish IPAs tend to be brewed with New World hops, American hops, or Australian, New Zealand hops, and this one is done from quite a new hop. It's a hop that they first started developing in the year 2000, and it was first grown commercially in 2013, so the first commercial harvest of it was 2013, so it's just 5 years old.
Crikey,
as a hop. Very, very fruity flavours from it, getting tropical fruit flavours, pineapple, passion fruit, stone fruit flavours, peach, apricot. There's a bit of herbs and pine as well, and a little bit of eucalyptus, kind of a minty.
It's a walk around the forest, then, what you're saying, really.
Yeah. Not hugely bitter. It's IPA usually, the thing about the IPA style is it's all about hops. And this particular type of hop, it's what's called a dual purpose hop. So hops do two jobs in beer. They can give bitterness, which is a flavour that you get at the back of the tongue. And that is there primarily to balance out sweetness and to make the beer more drinkable. If you didn't have that bitterness or spice in the beer, beer would be quite sickly sweet because the malt gives a lot of sweetness to it. The second job that hops do is it brings in different aromas. And the way that the flavour is added to the beer from hops depends on how the hops are used. The hops that they're using for this, they work both as bittering hops and as aroma hops. So they've got quite high alpha, so they give an amount of bittering without the need to use a huge amount of hops. But there's also some amazing aromas. This would be a Whirlpool hop, so it would be a hop that is best added in the Whirlpool to get the fruity flavours. If you add it in late towards the end of the boil, you tend to get slightly earthy flavours from it. But really good fruit flavours in it. It's designed, I think, to be really fruit forward. Sometimes with American IPAs, you get a bit more pine to it. Mm. And also the bitterness in it is dialed back a little bit. I guess it's not on the label, but I guess about 40, 45 in terms of bitterness units. So some IPAs go up to about 70.
Yeah, it's quite refreshing for an IPA, which you wouldn't normally think of them as being.
It's got a real kind of mouth-watering explosion of fruit flavour when you taste it. You know, those fruit flavours really kind of get your mouth watering and give a lot of flavour. Described as amber on the label, it's actually a little bit kind of paler than that. It'd be a kind of a straw gold, distinctly unfiltered. And sometimes when hops are added late in or dry hopped into the beer, you can get a certain amount of cloudiness from that. There are some types of IPAs that are particularly cloudy. This would be hazy, but that's not unusual for an IPA. You can get a certain amount of that from unfiltered IPAs.
Somebody's actually texted in to ask, how does being gluten-free differ from being pregnant? Serena. I don't think we've time for an explanation of that, really. When a man and a woman love each other very much, one of them becomes gluten-free. I want to... Dean's wearing a T-shirt today for the listeners, and it's got beer written on it. But it's not just beer that's written on it. Now, you know yourself, you might have had a few beers, you're wearing a T-shirt, you fall face down into a pool of beer, then there's a big stain. This is actually... This makes it impossible because the T-shirt's actually... Is it made from beer or dyed with beer?
It has been dyed in beer professionally, as opposed to I was sleeping on the street last night and pouring beer on myself.
But if you then in the future time wearing that T-shirt, you did pass out in a pool of beer, you wouldn't have a stain afterwards.
Yeah, but the advantage of it being beer dyed is that you don't have the aroma that is normally associated with a beer dyed T-shirt. Normally when you pour the beer over you. But yeah, no, I was in San Diego in August and at a beer conference. And I came across a beer-dyed T-shirt, so I figured it had to be bought. It also has the side effects of beer on the back of it, that you start speaking loudly and tell people you love them just randomly and stuff like that.
So. Just from wearing the T-shirt or from
drinking beer?
No, from drinking beer.
All right, from drinking beer.
All right. Okay. We do have to take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl. More for you.
I assume the logic is that you're on a space station or something and then somebody goes, God, who packed that? It really stinks.
So someone's got to smell someone's shoes and jocks and socks and...
Well, I suppose you wouldn't want to smell them when they come back. That's probably... somebody's texting you to say, why doesn't Serena go on First Dates Ireland? She sounds like good crack. That's from a married 54-year-old woman. Just because she's not pregnant now doesn't mean she's never been pregnant. She's spoken for.
I don't know if my husband and kids would like that.
Yeah, I would have thought they'd find it interesting. Yeah. She has had babies. She's been pregnant and reviewed films. In fact, I remember vividly when Serena was pregnant and reviewing films because she used to go afterwards. To be honest, I fell asleep after the first 10 minutes. It was so warm in there.
It was a hot room.
Yeah.
Tired. The films weren't that interesting.
Yes. So now, I'm looking to pull a Heston Blumenthal at a party this weekend as I recently purchased an ice cream making machine. I want to make a beer ice cream. Has Dean ever attempted this before? Which beer works well, almost frozen? Are there any beers I should avoid, says Peter, who admits he has notions.
Okay. Right. So making an ice cream with beer is interesting. The rates that things freeze at is different for different constituents in beer. Alcohol freezes at a very, very low freezing point, whereas water tends to freeze at a higher freezing point. But you could blend an ice cream in with beer. The beer that we're tasting there would work quite well if you're looking for something fruity. Another way of doing it, which is probably an easier way of doing it, but you might not be able to get away with using your ice cream maker, is you can do a beer float, and that works very well with fruit lambics. So you get about two-thirds of a glass of fruit lambic beer, cherry lambic or a raspberry lambic, and then put a scoop of vanilla ice cream into it and let the ice cream dissolve down into the beer. It turns the beer into a fruity alcoholic milkshake. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, we've done that. And but there's a whole thing about what you put in first, and it doesn't quite work if you put it in the wrong order.
You have to put the beer in first, because the way that foam forms in beer is through a process called nucleation. So what you need is you need some kind of irregularity on the surface of something for the CO2 bubbles to come out of solution. And when the CO2 bubbles come out of solution, then protein bubbles form around the CO2, and that's what forms the foam in beer. If you put the ice cream in first, you have a huge nucleation site, so the beer foams all over the place. So you have to put the beer in first at a cold temperature, put in the ice cream afterwards gently, and then kind of swirl the beer so that the ice cream settles down into it for it to blend into the beer.
That sounds
it's very
lovely.
Technical.
Can you make a cocktail out of beer? I have a load of beer swilling lads coming over for the rugby, and I'm not allowed to serve wine. I hate beer, but want to join in.
Okay. Yeah, there are some really nice ones. I know that Singer do a range of cocktails on their website, but there's a beautiful one. Again, two Belgian beers, a beer called Bush, which is a 12% ABV beer that's quite fruity. You get a banana and different fruit flavors in it. And they do a cocktail with another beer where you take a half glass of Bush beer and a half glass of Tamarind's Pêche Lambic and blend the two of them together. It gives you a beer that they call a Pêche Mel. And it's the two beers blended together. They also kind of blend it in the brewery and bottle it as Pêche Mel. But it is absolutely beautiful. You get very, very different flavors in it. The peach lambic gives you a huge amount of peach flavor. You get kind of banana, other types of fruit flavors. And then when you put the two of them together, you get a massive kind of fruit salad of flavors that's quite different from either of the two beers.
Oh, answer it, for God's sake. I'll just sit here and pretend nobody knows. Somebody in the audience says, could you ask Dean? I think he's in the audience. Could you ask Dean where he's going drinking tonight? I'm at a bit of a loose end. I took the day off work, sent the kids to their granny so we could go to movies and brews and take my wife out for the evening. She just told me she has other plans. Her name is Lisa. I think ex-wife is the word you're looking for there. Hello, Mr. Beer Man. I'm getting married at NYC in May. Are there any good craft beers I should be trying when I'm there? Richard wants to know.
Did he say where he was getting married?
New York City.
In New York City. Southern Tier do some amazing beers. They do a creme brulee stout, which is absolutely divine. Depending on the time of the year, if it did they say May? I'm about to recommend a pumpkin beer, but that comes out
May,
at Halloween
right,
time.
Yeah.
So it'll be a bit later. Yeah, the creme brulee stout that Southern Tier do is absolutely amazing, but any of the beers that they do are superb. It's a brewery that I think is based in Upper New York State, and they do a whole range of beers that are based on kind of they come up with an idea for a beer and then brew the beer to that concept, and they've done some amazing ones.
Debs wants to know, how excited is Serena for Frozen 2? I'm a 38-year-old woman. I'm beside myself.
Excited wouldn't be the word I'd use. I'd probably use interested. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with the sequel.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, she hates her children.
This is a fun show today. No, I'm just interested to see what they can do. I thought it was wrapped up so nicely in the first one. And the shorts that they've done since Frozen 2, you know, when they release any Disney animated, Cinderella, they put a short in front of that one. I don't think they've been fabulous. So it'll just be interesting to see. I have no doubt whenever it's released, there's going to be a song that we will be hearing over and over and again.
Don't you know that?
And it'll be a great success for Disney regardless, and we'll see a Frozen 3.
Don't you think? Yeah, of course we will. You're absolutely right. Yeah. After 10 years of being a stay-at-home mom, I went back to work last month. And this person says, thanks for keeping me company and somewhat sane over the years. Delighted to be at Movies and Booze today. It's been on the bucket list for a while. Aww. So, who sent in that text? There you go. Oh, well done. What's your name?
Trasa.
Trasa. And you were at home minding the children and that kind of stuff? Yeah. So it's not as if that's not work.
No, I'm exhausted at the moment.
Yeah. And so how long have you been gone back to kind of a day job?
I'm only doing 3 days.
Right, okay. Yeah. That's, you're kind of easing yourself in.
Yes.
How's that going? Kind of because when you come home after the 3 days, no doubt, you know, the house is spotless.
My poor husband has to do grocery shopping, which is unusual for him. But no.
When you say unusual.
Well, when I was at home, I was at home, so I might as well have done it. No, it's a balancing act and it's a big change. Yeah. But we're managing.
Yeah, but it's good to be kind of out of
the house. It's lovely to go to the toilet by yourself.
Oh.
And, yeah. Yeah.
And when you're at work, everybody goes, Mammy, Mammy,
yes,
Mammy,
yeah,
Mammy.
Yeah.
Well done, Trasa. Congratulations.
Thank you,
good
Thank
for you.
You.
Good for you. And Ellie also texted me to say, my mother will be celebrating her birthday at the show today. She raised myself and my two siblings alone, has always been very hardworking and sacrificed everything she could just so we could have a good life. We have had a few difficult years and my mother was rarely had a chance to go out and enjoy herself with her friends without having to worry about us. We are forever grateful for everything she does for us and we know she will continue to take care of us even when we've left home. We love her so much that words can't even describe. We really hope she enjoys her day out with you. Ah, where's Ellie's mom?
Oh.
Ellie, that's what she told you.
Oh, we found her.
She is. Oh, we did find her eventually because it's a bit morto. That the. Hello, Ellie's mom. What's your name?
Michelle.
Hello, Michelle. Oh, God, love. Sorry. Are you, who are you with here today?
Tracy.
Tracy. Hello, Tracy. How are you? Your kids really love you.
I'm absolutely mortified. Sorry.
Yeah. How old are your kids, can I ask?
Ellie's 15 and Dylan is 12 and Frida is 9.
Okay, well, that's a hell of an achievement because usually by the time they're 15, they hate you. So that's an amazing job, that is. So that deserves a round of applause. Well done. They were two very heartwarming texts, so it's a natural segue that we now start to talk about. Liam Neeson in Cold Pursuit. Here's a clip.
Dante says hello.
I don't know any Dantes.
Yes, you do. He worked at the Kehoe Airport with my son, Kyle. You know him too. Tell me what happened.
All right, Pops, there's the door, all right? Now, I don't know what igloo you crawled out of, but I think it's time you crawled back in. And trust me, that's your best move.
They were having a frank exchange of views at the end of that clip, presumably.
I feel like I need to do the review like this the whole way.
He can't actually, there's one thing about, because it's not like Liam Neeson's a bad actor, but he just can't do accents at all.
No, but and I think what's happened is he's almost, in all these films, he's starting to become a caricature of the original Taken man. So it's like every time he does another one of these, his voice gets even weirder and weirder. Basically, it's a very, very simple story. He's a snowplower. This time, there's the change, right? He's a snowplower. And this time, unlike in Taken, he's not rescuing his daughter. His son was murdered by the local cartel, and he's hunting every single one of them down to exact revenge on them.
Okay. Now, I mean, he drove a snowplow. Did he do anything before this that gave him all these ninja skills? Or is that just what they teach snowplow drivers in America?
Have you not seen Homer Simpson in The Simpsons? You know, when you become a snowplower, you get all these mysterious skills. Look, I don't know. It's based on a successful 2014 Norwegian movie called In Order of Disappearance. I sort of...
Yeah.
Is that Liam?
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, as I said, this is getting really high reviews. So maybe if you're into this sort of film, the action, revenge, thriller type niche that Liam Neeson has made, this might be for you. But wow, the body count, I sort of stopped counting at about 7 or 8. It just, it is really high. And with each murder, with each death, it becomes more and more gruesome. It's trying to be funny as well. So, like, are we supposed to laugh at the way they're killing each other? Laura Dern, I think the only time I got excited was at the very beginning when I saw Laura Dern turn up. She plays the grieving mother. She's only in it for 10 minutes.
Oh.
And then it just moves on to Liam Neeson doing his thing. Gorgeous setting if you're into like cold weather settings and stuff. The gang cartel just seemed to get more and more ridiculous. And at the end of each one, they have like the name of the person and then the symbol for the religion. I never quite understood. I have to admit, I may have been zoning in and out of this film.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's the religion that they follow and stuff.
Religion.
Just, yeah, I don't understand the correlation between the two, but yeah, there was that as well. It goes for...
Serena, you are admitting you don't understand a plot point from a Liam Neeson movie.
Yeah, true. God, today really is a good day, isn't it? Do you know why? Because it goes for 119 minutes.
Oh, crikey. Okay? It's an arse number then. Yeah.
Yes, if you're going to make a film like this... We all know what to expect, but make it for 90 minutes. Don't expect us to come along for the ride for 119 minutes. That's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, Rotten Tomatoes, critics and audiences who have seen it, the rating is in 70%. For me personally, I'd be staying well away
from this film. Yeah, so it's Taken with Snow.
Taken with Snow. There's no one to rescue and...
Oh, yeah. No, right, so it's just straightforward
killing. It's just basically revenge.
Yeah.
Exacting revenge, and then they try and bring in a couple little storylines and stuff. Do you know what the other thing is? There's too many characters. Like, there's too many people that I need to keep up with, and I don't feel an affiliation with any of them.
But they all get killed by Liam Neeson
anyway. A lot of them do, and that's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, if you're into Liam Neeson, you may want to go see this, and if not, stay well away from it.
Someone who's listening to us in a car with the kids... says, love listening during midterm. Mammy, what's the KKK? Mammy, am I gluten intolerant? Mammy, why do we listen to this man? Do you know him? Ooh, Frozen 2. We're going to take a break after that, Jackal.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
Down the rabbit hole, deeper down the rabbit hole it goes. down the rabbit hole we go again, everybody. Deeper down the rabbit hole. Deeper down the rabbit hole. Deeper down the rabbit hole we go again. Deep. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. We will meet again.
Jack Alder, that's Deeper Down the Rabbit Hole, which might have some contemporary applications, I would have thought, given this one of the many forthcoming gigs Jack's playing. He's going on a UK tour in the not too distant future. They could do with some cheering up. He is playing tonight in the White House in Cork, though that's sold out. But he is tomorrow is in Longford in the Backstage Theatre there, along with Pat McCabe and Shane Crossan and Carol-Anne Farrelly. Tell us about that show, because this is Pat McCabe's been doing this kind of thing for a while.
Yeah, myself and Pat. Well, it's a show we did. We toured the world with it a couple of years back, and he's got a new book out. So we put a new show together. His new book is called Heartland. So it's a nice combination. I mean, he's amazing, bringing the characters to life when he reads. He's also a great actor. Mm. He was in The Butcher Boy, as the local layabout, I suppose, going around town. But so it's, if you're into your literature and you're into your music, it's a nice combination of both. And
It's kind of like a vaudeville type style, kind of Shanachie stroke vaudeville.
Yeah, there's visuals incorporated with the screens and things like that. So it's great. I mean, I couldn't ask for better intros to songs where he gives these beautiful, lead into stuff. And so it's a very interesting show. If you're looking for something different, come to Longford on Saturday night.
Yeah, I do indeed. also, Zella, I should mention that Jack will be playing in the Belfast Empire next Friday, the 1st of March, then Burr Theatre the following night on the 2nd, and then he goes to the UK. Jack's also like a serious film buff. I think you've seen probably a lot of the Oscar contenders.
Well, yeah, I always try to watch the old Oscar contenders. Voice, I think. I mean, if Christian Bale doesn't get the best actor...
Really? Just because he
becomes Dick Cheney.
He put on weight.
No, but as it goes on, he becomes Dick Cheney. It's the weirdest thing you'll ever see.
Yeah. Okay. So, who do you think is going to win Best Picture?
Okay. Everyone thinks I'm mad for saying this.
Okay.
Everyone's saying it's going to be Green Book. Do you agree? The way it's been going. There's no more surprises when it comes to the Oscars anymore. I think the only surprise is I wouldn't be surprised if Black Panther takes it away. I know it's mad, but I think the voters might be going to the Academy, you know what, you got so much wrong this year. Let's just give you a bit of a surprise. Because if Beale Street Could Talk should have been
It'd be really weird if it does, because as those superhero movies go, which I admit I've seen them all, it's in the middle. Mm. It's not one of the best ones. No.
It was good.
It was good, but it wasn't the best one. No, it wasn't Infinity Wars.
Dean, have you seen Black Panther?
I have seen Black Panther.
And where would you rate it, like as a superhero movie, even?
Good, but not one of the best superhero movies.
I wouldn't get that at all.
No, yeah. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Was it Oscar worthy? No, I mean, this is the first ever film of its kind to be nominated for best film, because the Academy actually wanted to have a best popular film in the awards ceremony. And everyone just went, no, we don't think so, because this is supposed to be prestigious and stuff. So they got rid of that, but then threw Black Panther into that list of films. And to me, it makes no sense.
Yeah, it would be exciting, though, if it did win. It would be something
I'd
different.
I'd love it. It'd be something to talk about.
I mean, they've done so many of those movies, it would be kind of a token for that, I suppose,
Well, what do you think is going to win best movie, Jack?
Well, I enjoyed, what was the...
There's Black Panther,
well,
Black
Bohemian Blazer. Rhapsody, I know it's not... No, I'm not saying it's going to win, but it is a great movie.
I wouldn't be surprised if it does.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed that one, I have to say. It's a feel-good movie.
Did you enjoy it because it was a biopic or because it was a music movie? Because I don't think it knew what it wanted to be.
I love Freddie. What can I say? Who doesn't love Freddie?
Obviously, all these people love Freddie, or they're scared to admit they don't. The favourite, because Esther just says, give it all to the favourite.
I don't know if the favourite will take it. I think out of all of them, I think the favourite is great. I don't think Vice deserves to win. I mean, had you asked me at the, say, October time of last year who was going to win, I would have said A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
But given how it's been doing at all the award ceremonies, yeah. I don't think A Star Is Born is only going to walk away with one definite, and that's for Gaga and Cooper for Shallow, best song.
Yeah. Okay. But so is there a bit of is there a backlash against that movie?
No, I just think that in the end, for some reason, everyone went... I'd be very surprised if Roma does what it did at the BAFTAs and walks away with best foreign language film and best film.
Yeah.
But everyone has sort of been going towards Roma and The Favourite. And Vice. I think Vice could probably walk away with a couple of awards.
Well, too. I think you should get best actor. I don't know if it's the best movie, but I couldn't believe it. He became Dick Cheney. It was the weirdest thing.
I think just because of the way it's been going, I reckon Rami Malek might actually walk away with it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be
because
surprised.
Yeah. He was amazing as Freddie Mercury.
Somebody wants to know, Jack, is that guitar tiny or is Jack actually a giant?
No, that's a mini travel guitar, which, you know, when you're traveling on planes and trains and automobiles. Right. Once you plug it in, it sounds like a normal guitar. So, it's an optical illusion.
Okay, but you can't inflate it into full size.
No, I'm waiting for them to invent that, please. Yeah, blow up guitar.
Jane and Marty says, please say hi to the lovely Jack. Looking forward to his gig tomorrow night in Longford, one of Ireland's finest. Fifth time to see him live this year so far.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
So serious groupies there and a bit more abuse. Why in the name of Christ did you bring up Frozen? It's the midterm holidays. Now the kids are blasting Let It Go in the back of the car. We've just started a 3-hour journey. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
And Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
It's a quiet old life. You live on the farm. We don't dress Friday. The Sunday town. Your brains in that blouse, keep your shoulders along. And we all know that the world takes a toll and it's a hard one. But you couldn't carry water, so the second went dry and the third got out. Not before time, and the fourth proved pretty good at being a child. And all 'cause the first card was wild. 'Cause we all know that the world takes a toll and it's a hard one. And we all agree if you want what you see and get a job, son. And we understand you got a boy and a man, you better drive one. There ain't no doubt in the world I could have your girl, but I got one. She's a hot one, your tribe, did you ever belong? Did you grow to love Sundays, your Friday town? Acting real cold from the ways you've been burnt, you think less of the lessons that you never learned. But we all know that the world takes a toll and it's a hard one. And we all agree if you want what you see, get a job, son. We understand you got a boy and a man, you better drive one. There ain't no doubt in the world I could have your girl, but I got one, and she's a hot one. We'll be right back.
That's One Horse Pony there with Hot One. That's the most recent single, and they have just released a special edition of that EP. It was produced by Gavin Glasses on vinyl, and it's available on their website. Everything's on vinyl nowadays. We are coming today from the River Lee Hotel in Cork with our live audience. Hello, live audience. Yay! Serena Bellissimo and Ian McGuinness are with us still. Joanna in Dublin has a question for you, Dean. She says, I'm looking for a really unusual and rare craft beer for the ultimate beer snob. What should I be buying? His birthday is coming up, and I want to both impress him and wipe the smug smile off his face. I really love him, but to win on this front would be a tasty win indeed, says Joanna. So okay. She kind of loves him and hates him at the same time.
Okay, yeah. Right. The trickiest thing with rare beers, there are some incredibly rare beers out there, and the question is whether they're available. But the best way to probably achieve what she's trying to achieve is to get a limited release beer or a one-off beer. Chimay Grand Reserve is oak-aged, and they're oak-aging it in a series of different barrels. I think that the current version that's out at the moment is aged in rum, French oak, and I don't think it's chestnut. I think it's rum, French oak, and another type of barrel. And it's a 10.5% Trappist quadruple. Quite expensive. It's about €30 a bottle, but it is absolutely beautiful.
There you go, Joanna.
Yeah.
That's what you do. I'd love to surprise my boyfriend with a trip to somewhere filled with nice beer. Where would your guru recommend going in Europe that he can drink and I can shop in, says Yvonne.
Okay. Belgium is amazing. We tend to go to Belgium for the Brussels Beer Festival in September. And you have a whole range of different breweries with a small stand in the center of the Grand Place in Brussels. So it's a beautiful setting. You've got old 15th century guild buildings all around. Each of the stands, regardless of the size of the brewery, is exactly the same size, which is a nice thing. They've got a kind of a democratic thing going on with their breweries. And then around Brussels, there's a whole pile of bars. You know the Delirium Cafe,
indeed.
If you remember it well.
No, I don't remember it at all. That's the problem. I believe I was there.
Yeah. That's the bar in the world with the most beers available. They got the Guinness World Record in 2004, so they guaranteed to have at least 2004 beers available at any one time, but they usually have about 2,500 to 3,000 available.
You know the way people send in those texts about, I was in such a place, did they have that thing there? Well, actually, someone's in the audience, one of those. It's Pierce. Where's Pierce? Put your hand up there, Pierce. Oh, there's Pierce here. He's here. Pierce. So go on, ask her. Go on, show off there. Where were you?
I can't pronounce the name, but you'll have to say
it. Now, come on. Don't put it on me. It's the first time I've seen it.
I just drank a lot of it.
Yeah. Okay, so Pierce was in. Where were you? You were in Cologne?
No, I was in Trier.
Right, okay. He was in Trier. And there was a beer there he couldn't pronounce, but he drank a lot of.
Okay.
And can you get it here? It's called Fru Kolsch, by the look of it.
Yes.
It's from Cologne.
It is available. Red and white label. Kolsch is a kind of a light hybrid ale. So they brew it with an ale yeast, but slightly colder. So it comes out kind of halfway between an ale and lager. But it is a beautiful beer. And yeah, it is being imported into Ireland. So you should be able to get it in the independent stores. Bradley's in Cork would be a good place to try for it.
Right. And that's Gene, your partner, yes, who's beside you. And he was making out to Gene that this beer doesn't give him a hangover. You know that one. Very believable. Did you believe him?
Not really.
No.
For once, I'm slightly starstruck.
Okay.
By you.
We'll move on. We'll leave you with that. We were talking about the Liam. Oh, by the way, our hashtag is Munster Movies. There's something about balanced metal. Of course there is. It's the top trend in Ireland. Again, as usual, we were talking as well about Liam Neeson's movie Cold Pursuit. Clive says, forget understanding the plot point of a Liam Neeson film. I do not understand the point of a Liam Neeson film. Owen says, if it is Liam Neeson's last film, well, obviously it won't be. It won't be for his comments, but rather a lack of any acting talent. Bruce Willis has been criticised for years for phoning it in. Yet Neeson is just as guilty. And if you look at his filmography, he's been in about three films worthy of praise.
But can you blame him? Like, if we're to take off our critic's hat and stuff, if someone said to me, you get to have some fun making the types of movies that you enjoy, and we're going to pay you big bucks. Mm. Who in their right mind is going to say no?
Yeah.
There you
but
go.
Over so, and over and over.
I would. If they kept paying again. Me millions and millions and millions, I can tell you now, I'm not saying no.
No, but say, but the point he's making is up to that point, Schindler's List.
Well, but.
Anything else?
I do. He was good in the A-Team.
He was good in the A-Team.
Yeah, it wasn't Schindler's List type acting.
No.
But it was great in the A-Team.
But actually, they pointed up his inability to do accents. Schindler's List was some bloke randomly from Northern Ireland who's running a, running a factory in Nazi Germany.
But he was great in that.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Dooners, we were talking about Black Panther as well. Two differing opinions on that. Do not underestimate how much Black Panther meant to children of colour around the world. A black superhero at last. Noel in Kilkenny, though, says Black Panther was absolute crap.
I'm more with the first person, and I think that's why I really enjoyed Black Panther as well, because it's so good to see on the screen just different representation. And, you know, like sometimes when I see stuff with, you know, mad Italians and Greeks, I get excited because you don't usually see that stuff on screen, you know. So I think it's great, and I think that is part of the reason why Black Panther has been taken to so many people's hearts, and I think that's a good thing. Is it Oscar worthy? I don't think so.
Okay. Well, he was also Liam Neeson was also in Michael Collins, and he was also in Love Actually.
Oh yeah, he was nice in Love Actually, wasn't he? We liked that teddy bear. Yeah, no.
Wow, okay. You are so on your own with that opinion. Does Serena know when Toy Story 4 is out? My daughter asks me nearly every day. There's only so many times I can say soon.
Tell her you'll be taking her as soon as school's over. It's out, I think, the last week of June. So,
oh, right, okay, so that should be,
yeah, it'll be here in time for the summer holidays. What I suggest is just stay away from the trailers. They're releasing little teasers and stuff, but stay away from the trailers so you can be surprised and go in not knowing what to expect, and then you can enjoy the film.
Yeah, they'll be excited to see it, so they'll want to see the trailers beforehand. Yeah, of course, they will. You couldn't blame them, really. Right, so Dean, let's move on to our second beer of the day.
Okay, so, and now there's one other thing that I need to do for... basically to try and dig myself out of a hole. So everybody who enjoys the beer reviews on this, yesterday was my wife's birthday, and if you're on Twitter, her Twitter handle is @Beeroness. If you can send her a belated happy birthday, because for her birthday, the treat was that she was woken up at 5 a.m, brought to a beer festival where we tasted about 27 different beers. She was brought for a romantic dinner. We had a Mexican burrito and chili fries before before the beer festival, just, you know, to butter
her
up.
Wow, so she had the treat of being with her husband who ate a burrito and then downed a load of beer afterwards.
27 beers, yeah. Mm, yeah. So yeah. She deserves a belated happy birthday. So anybody who's
sounds
on Twitter...
Sounds like that person who works for NASA.
So @Beeroness, please send her a belated happy birthday. Anyway, the second beer that we're tasting, Crafty Beer Company American Brown Ale. Now, this is a slightly unusual style. It's a style that would have originated in the UK. And it kind of died off as a style, but then was revived in the US. A lot of the American craft brewers looked towards the UK and Belgium and Germany for styles of beer. And in particular, they were interested in beers that were very popular in the past, but had died off. And they did different versions of it. In terms of the style, it varies across beers from being very malty, which is this one, to being a blend of dark malts and hops. So there isn't as much hop character with this one, but it's got all of the malt character going with it. So that comes through as kind of a slightly roasty note to start out with, kind of almost charcoal-y. And then that kind of quickly develops into caramel toffee, so kind of dark brown sugar type flavors. It's light to medium bodied beer. It's got all of that kind of dark malt flavor, the blend of different malts being used in it. It goes well with the meatballs that they've sent out with us, because somebody was kind enough to drop us up a meatball and I did a food pairing there. It was quite nice. but yeah, done a nice job in it. all of the beers today. The IPA is 6%, which is fairly normal for an IPA. This is 5% ABV, so it's, again, okay, you know, yeah, reasonably normal strength for a beer. Most of the mainstream beers in Ireland are about 4.3%, but when you go for craft beers, they tend to head up around the 5% stuff around there.
Powder once, you know, you can get these in Lidl. Somebody texted in to ask there. I think all the beers we're doing today,
They're it's an on-label range of beers exclusively for Lidl, so they brew just for Lidl.
I'm looking for a lovely orangey beer, says Tim in Kildare. What should I be trying?
Orangey beer.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. if you try a wit beer, so there's a few out there, Sally White, Baptiste Fit, that is a wheat beer that is brewed with coriander and orange peel, usually as the blend of spices that are used in it. So you can get a flavour that's similar to Triple Sec or Cointreau, that kind of orangey,
oh, right, orangey
flavour.
Yeah.
It comes through as sweet orange sometimes, or sometimes kind of slightly bitter orange, but that can be quite nice.
Yeah, Gar in Dublin says he got a present of a perfect draft machine for Christmas. Where can I get kegs in Ireland for it?
If you contact breweries, they will, in some instances, supply kegs. There were a few people that were doing home keg deliveries. I don't know if they're still going at the moment. But if you do keg deliveries home on the internet, about five, 8 years ago, there was a few that were doing home deliveries of kegs.
It wasn't much of a present, really, given they didn't think out the next stage of it, really, the keg part of it. Please wish my wife Caroline Riley a happy birthday for tomorrow. She couldn't make it today. She's working. That's from Graham, who's delighted not to be working. So, good man, Graham. And a few other comments on Liam Neeson. How could you not remember Liam Neeson was very good in Star Wars? Yeah. Liam Neeson wasn't terrible in Batman Begins.
So basically there's a consensus that anything before Taken, Liam Neeson was great. And then when he went down the action hero route, he sort of lost it a little bit.
Yeah. Neeson played the lion in the live action, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Don't know why that makes me giggle, but
okay. Yeah, well, there you go. He's got range, this man. Why is that lion from Northern Ireland? I don't know why. Right, we do have to take a break. Another movie to talk about after this.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
It looks like somebody's put a beauty filter across New York City.
911, what's your emergency?
Someone's broken into my apartment and they've taken everything and replaced it all with much nicer stuff.
So your emergency is that your apartment is too big and you have every shoe you could ever want.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think I might be going crazy.
I hit my head really hard and I woke up in this alternate universe.
And now I have a gay sidekick who's setting gay rights back like 100 years.
I love working the legs.
Jesus! And guys look me in the eyes.
You're quite beguiling, aren't you?
Are you feeling what I'm feeling?
No!
Oh my God.
There you go. That's Isn't It Romantic, Rebel Wilson.
Yeah. Now, do you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the rom-com and we said, what has actually happened to the rom-com? There hasn't been a good rom-com in ages.
Mm-hmm.
The noughties and the 90s were filled with rom-coms. And, I mean, they were good when they were beginning. Like, you know, Meg Ryan, anything with Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks in it, you were guaranteed to have a great soppy film. You know what you're in for. Something soppy, over the top, corny. And not real life. But then they just, I don't know, studios just went, these aren't working for us anymore. I love Isn't It Romantic. I'm not a fan of rom-coms usually, but I love this film because it takes the rom-coms that we loved, but it also is very cynical about the rom-com. And so the lead character, who's Natalie, played by Rebel Wilson, she has an assistant who is totally into rom-coms. She's supposed to be her assistant, but all she does all day is watch rom-coms. She goes out onto the subway, she's mugged, she, in true rom-com style, she becomes unconscious, she wakes up and she's living in a rom-com life, in a rom-com world. And she's like, I don't like this, This is like, you know, the Matrix for lonely women. I need to get me out of here. I need to get to the end. So then it's a very cynical take on the rom-com genre. And it so works. It's so much fun. It's 90 minutes, as it should be, so it knows how long it needs to run for. It is funny. It is over the top. I finally understand why Irish people get really upset, though, when it comes to people trying to do their accents. Because at the very beginning, the opening scene, there's Rebel Wilson when she was a baby, and her mother is played by the fabulous Jennifer Saunders from Absolutely Fabulous. Mm. She can't do an Irish accent, an Australian accent. Tomás is better.
Oh, God. Than,
yeah. That's saying a lot.
That's saying a lot,
yeah. But that aside, it's just such a fun movie. And they're bold about taking the Mickey out of the rom-com genre. They do iconic scenes from My Best Friend's Wedding. There's mentions to Pretty Woman, Sweet Home Alabama. And the casting, like Rebel Wilson, you can't help but fall in love with her in this. She's so relatable, so likable. She's self-deprecating. Liam, I want to say Neeson, but he's not in this. Liam Hemsworth
yeah.
is in this one. And I have to say, I really enjoyed watching him. Now, I don't know, am I biased because I'm Australian and they were both using their Australian accent and I enjoyed hearing that? I don't know, but I thought he was great crack in this too, taking...
Okay.
Yeah. No?
Someone's texting to say, but Rebel Wilson isn't funny. Why is she cast in a comedy?
Because it really works. In this, her, it's Amy Schumer type. I think you either love Rebel or you don't.
Yeah.
And in this, I give this a go though, because there's also some great, I know musical sequences aren't everybody's idea of something fun. Oh, but it's so over the top, and it's not a spoiler to say it's Express Yourself by Madonna, and it's set in New York, like the film capital of rom-coms.
Yeah.
You can't get any better. And if you have been craving a really good rom-com, this is it. And yes, there's a corny message at the end, you know, we have to stop being invisible, we need to let people see us, and yeah, but it worked. Do you know, at the end, I was watching it, and maybe because I was watching it at home, this is available on Netflix from Wednesday, and maybe because I was in the privacy of my own home, I allowed myself to drop those rom-com guards that I have up and allowed myself to enjoy it, and I clapped.
Does this car come with rom-com guards?
But no, I clapped at the end, like it finished, oh, like, wow. Oh my gosh, I was like, yeah, I haven't done that in a long time in a film, so this was a bit of fun. Not everyone agrees.
Dorina says, I'm not a big fan of Rebel Wilson. I don't get her shtick of rapping and acting a bit dim. I'm sure she's an intelligent woman, but doesn't play that role in movies. I feel like she's doing women a disservice. Somebody else wonders, is Liam Hemsworth a good actor? I don't really rate his brother Chris. I feel they just act with their muscles and rely on them to get through movies.
I have to admit, I would never have thought when you saw Chris Hemsworth on Home and Away, I thought his acting was terrible, and I never thought out of all the cast of Home and Away, he'd be the one to be the Hollywood actor, because he's not a great actor. Like, he's good as Thor, but he's not a great actor. I will watch him, though.
He was good in Ghostbusters. Was that him or was that the
That brother? Was him. Yeah. That was Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he was good as kind of playing a dim sort of type. Yeah, the dim-witted.
Yeah.
Other
Hemsworths are okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, an awful lot of people don't really like Rebel Wilson. When promoting this movie, she said she was the only plus-size woman in a lead romantic comedy, forgetting about Monique, Melissa McCarthy, Queen Latifah. What an idiot.
I know. Sometimes she gets caught up in her own world, but please forgive her and watch this. It's worth it. She teams up again with Adam Devine. So if you do like Adam Devine and herself in Pitch Perfect, you'll actually enjoy her in this as well, because they've got great chemistry together. And Priyanka Chopra's in this too. Mm. She's a Bollywood actress who married one of the Jonas Brothers just there recently. Yeah. So there you go.
So it kind of sounds similar to a lot of films that Rebel Wilson has been in. Is she the Liam Neeson of plus-size women comedy?
Possibly. But you know what? Excuse me. In this case, it actually works. It's a bit of fun. And I think because it is so cynical, it's not taking itself seriously. It's a rom-com we've all been waiting for that we didn't know we were waiting for.
Somebody wants to know something about On the Basis of Sex, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie. I saw the trailer for this. Not impressed by our one who plays Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She keeps talking out of the side of her mouth like Katie Holmes. And it's really distracting. Is it like that the whole way through?
Felicity Jones. I think she does a great job. The thing is, right, my problem with Felicity Jones is I wish I never knew that Natalie Portman was going to play Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Because I think Felicity Jones is great, but I think Natalie Portman would have been much better. The problem with On the Basis of Sex is the problem I had with the Battle of the Sexes. Do you remember the Billie Jean King film? It was an amazing film. These are amazing, amazing women. But I don't feel it's the powerful film that we should have gotten about this amazing woman who, you know, was one of the first female lawyers in the States. She was one of only 9 women in a class of 500 who were accepted that year to go to law school. She changed so many laws and is still at 86 serving on justice on the Supreme Court in America.
Well, she kind of has to.
Yeah, no, she's holding on for dear life.
Yeah. Well, literally. When is Secret Life of Pets 2 coming out? I have a 7-year-old who won't shut up asking me about it.
Tell the 7-year-old that, do you know what? Tell the 7-year-old that everything is coming out at the end of the year. It's not, but if you tell them it's sooner, then they'll be on your back. So okay. I'd say summertime.
Parenting tips too. Jim in Dublin says, I'm just back from Prague where the care lavished on their wonderful beer has turned a glass of it into an art form. Why can't many pubs here look after even the Guinness properly? Several barmen tell me there's only one temperature setting for every beer in most pubs, i.e. lager freezing temperature. This is just one example, but in my experience, around a third of pubs here have beer quality issues. Wow, Jim's been to a lot of pubs then.
Yeah, there's about 8,000 pubs, so that would be about 2,600 pubs that he's been to.
Jesus, Jim, get your liver shut out, for God's sake, man.
As a general rule, the quality of draft in Ireland is quite good. In other countries, the quality of draft has been generally kind of quite variable from terrible to very good. But one of the things in Ireland is that there has been a focus on a very defined and quite tight range of beer styles for quite a long time, up until the mid-90s, late 90s. And all of those beer styles have been designed, to be served at a certain temperature, or in recent times they've just reduced the temperature down quite a bit. They have had a similar level of carbonation, similar ABV, similar styles in the basic level. You know, I know that stout and lager are quite different from each other, but in terms of body and, basic parameters. And then when you come along with unusual styles, you need to adapt the draft system to suit those styles. And if you don't, the beer doesn't pour as well. All of the beer in Ireland typically is served on some form of nitrogen mix, so a nitrogen carbon dioxide mix, and that can soften the flavour of beer, which also reduces the intensity of hop character as compared to a beer that's served on pure CO2. And in Ireland, it can be quite difficult to serve a beer on pure CO2 because the cold room tends to be quite a bit distant from the tap. So you need to have a mixed gas to be able to achieve the pour. So bit by bit, it'll improve. In the States, they've done some amazing things. There's bars that have 100, 200 taps, and they've designed their entire draft system around having a wide range of different beers on offer at any one time. And if they're taking in a new beer, they'll only take it in if they have a tap that has the specification suited for that beer style.
Yeah.
So they rotate the beers, but they'll only rotate them in a way that's logical for the draft system. So we do have a little bit to go on that.
Dan in Limerick says, you're a braver man than me. Taking the mickey out of Liam Neeson doesn't end well, according to the 75 action movies he's made in the last 10 years. And someone says, thanks for the advice on the Pets movie. The 7-year-old is here beside me and asks if everything I tell her is a lie. We have to take a break. One more beer after this.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
Five 3106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cents. We're still coming to you today from the Riverlea Hotel in Cork with thanks to Lidl. Dean and Serena are still with us. Paddy in Sandyford actually says, Dean, in all the time I've listened to Movies and Booze, I imagine Dean, the beer guy, to be a plummy upper-class gentleman in a tweed suit. Then today he was wearing a beer-dyed T-shirt. My mental image is well and truly blown.
Yeah.
Yes. He's laughing just because of the first part of that comment, really. Can you ask Serena about Barry Keoghan? Does she think he's the right choice to be the new Robin? in the new Batman movies.
I think he'd be fantastic because I think Robin, he'd be that like plucky little side character. And I think out of, I know this is ridiculous to say, but out of Batman and Robin when I was little, I used to always go for the underdog. I used to go for Robin. So I think he would be the perfect underdog to Batman.
Right. And he'll bring sidekick rather than underdog.
Yeah, but he was the one that no one really loved as much as Batman. So he'd be better than, who was Chris O'Donnell was Batman, was Robin to George Clooney's Batman.
Yeah.
So I think much, much better choice.
Someone says, did you see your one who played Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Graham Norton a couple of weeks ago? Zero charisma. Even when they showed the picture of her with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RGB didn't look too happy being beside her. That's a bit mean.
That's a bit unfair.
Yeah. Regarding Black Panther, at last a black superhero, what about Hancock with Will Smith? Yeah.
I preferred Black Panther, I thought.
Actually, that wasn't a bad movie. Yeah. It's refreshing to see Rebel Wilson, who isn't your typical actress, to be the lead in a movie. It's about time kids had better people like Rebel to look up to. Well, that's not a popular one. I find most beers other than stout give me a terrible hangover in the morning. Are there any brands that are good if you're prone to suffering from a bad head the next day?
The advice on that tends to work the other way. There are some beers that seem to give a particularly bad hangover. There was one popular Belgian lager that I won't name for fear of being sued because it's owned by a very large company that was quite notorious for giving people intense hangovers. And the suspicion is that they were using an amount of industrial enzymes in the brewing process. In general, if a beer is cloudy, then it's relying on yeast as opposed to chemicals for its preservative qualities. Also, if a beer has high bitterness, then that can be something that helps to preserve the beer. And in general, if a beer is from a smaller brewery, and the logic behind that is very simple. If you have a brewery that's producing like hundreds of thousands of liters in one batch, using a small amount of chemicals can increase efficiency by a fraction of a percent. But in terms of hundreds of thousands of liters, that can be a huge saving for the brewery. If you're producing just a couple of thousand liters at a time, using chemicals tends not to work as well. But it tends to be down to individuals as well. Also, drink water when you're drinking beer. If you drink kind of a similar amount of water as to the beer you're drinking, and don't drink 15 pints of beer, you'll get a hangover regardless of...
Yeah. Well, no, they're saying other than stout... that stout doesn't give them a hangover for some odd reason.
And it could be just down to the individual as well. There's a book called Proof that goes through all matters to do with alcohol. And the bit that I was most looking forward to in the book was the bit about hangovers. But the disappointing thing about it is that there's still an amount that we don't understand about hangovers. A lot of it is related to being dehydrated. Alcohol acts as a diuretic. It makes you go to the toilet for number one. And it also absorbs you.
Does it?
it tends to leave you with less water.
Everybody in the room wants to go now.
Yeah.
excuse me, just a minute.
So yeah, but your body can process alcohol at quite a specific rate, typically about one unit per hour your liver can handle, and after that the alcohol overflows from your liver into your system. So fundamentally,
give up drink altogether. Yeah. That's what he's actually saying. There's been a lot of improvement in draft dispensing systems in recent years. Lancer glycol cooling systems allow multiple dispense temperatures and chill the beer at the bar rather than the cellar, says Niall from Eco Cool Refrigeration. Oh, I feel sorry for Niall. He's ringing people up and going, hi, I'm the guy from Eco Cool Refrigeration. Carl wants to know, can you buy craft beer in packs? Sick of buying them by one bottle.
In the US, the norm is for craft beers to be sold in six packs. But then what a lot of the bottle shops do is they work in reverse. So they'll display it in a six pack. But if you want to go up and start taking bottles out of the six pack and put other bottles into the six pack, they'll let you kind of mix up the six pack. I suppose the simple answer to that is buy multiple bottles of the same beer and just bring a bag.
Well, no, yeah. I suppose it's that. Yeah. It's just that you're aware of how expensive they are when you buy single bottles, then when you have to buy six of them.
Yeah, it tends. The logic of that is more related to logistics. So basically, when you've got mainstream beers, the economies that can be achieved in a mainstream beer are much more significant than the economies that can be achieved in a craft beer. When you bring a craft beer, typically there's about 7 times more labor goes into a craft beer, purely because the batch size is smaller and there's more employees in the company. Also, the cost of the ingredients tends to be about 2 to 3 times higher for a craft beer. So when you've got a mainstream beer, they can bring down the cost of the beer quite a bit, and then they tend to discount the beer when it's sold in volume. Even when beers are sold in six packs in the US, they tend not to be discounted down. The price of the six pack is comparable to the price of the bottle. You don't have a situation where, you know, you buy one six pack and you find that the price of a case of beer is almost the same price.
In Australia, is it, you know, that you don't drink beer, Serena? Is that like a source of shame? Do your family have to keep it quiet?
It was the best thing was when I became a celiac, because I no longer had to say I don't drink beer. I could say I'm allergic to beer.
Okay, but up to that point, people just thought you were weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's nothing new, yeah?
Yes, but yeah. Right, let's move on to our third beer.
Okay, so our third beer, an Irish Stout. It's a 4.5% ABV beer. It's an Irish Stout now. The mainstream stouts that are available in Ireland, I should put these in the right order, are Murphy's and Guinness, given the place that I'm in. Beamish, yeah. And ironically, Beamish is now owned by Heineken, that owns Murphy's as well. They joined together quite a while ago, and it was nice to see that the competition authority insisted that Beamish would continue to be available, even though the brewery put both of the brands into the same house. Now, this one, it is quite a bit more intense in terms of coffee flavor. There's a huge amount of coffee aroma on it. That coffee's coming through as espresso, coffee grounds. It says on the label chocolate. The chocolate is definitely recessive. It takes you until about halfway down the bottle before you get to the chocolate. I know that because I was tasting it this morning on the train. And
he's a very long tongue.
And thank God I've got a distinctive voice, because at 10:40 in the morning I was opening bottles of beer and there was people on the train kind of looking at me, and then somebody phoned me. I was talking on the phone and somebody said, are you the guy in News Talk that does the beer? And I said, could you please ask that louder so that everybody on the train can hear. Good coffee aromas. They've kept the carbonation down, which gives it a slightly more kind of velvety texture. So the buzz of carbonation is a bit smoother, and it's kind of a medium-bodied beer. The carbonation doesn't lift that body, and the flavors that you associate with coffee tend to give you an impression of a kind of a smoother, velvety flavor to it. Three nice beers that they've done. Great to see. Sometimes with supermarkets, you can see a preponderance of pale ales and IPAs, and with the range of beers that they've done, they have got a kind of an extended range of beers in Lidl under the Crafty Brewing Company. They have a saison in the range as well. The American Brown Ale is an unusual style to have, so it's nice to see them extending it out beyond the kind of the basic styles.
Yeah, indeed. And that one is very coffee-ish, because you know, sometimes people say this and I just taste beer, but you can actually taste it.
Dark malts, process that is involved in making coffee. If you look at a coffee bean when it's harvested, it's a slightly white, oily bean, and then it's roasted and goes through a process to develop the flavors in it. Malted barley goes through the same process to make it dark, and you get similar flavors then.
Yeah. And someone's texted in to say you can buy multiple craft beers in packs. They're called shopping trolleys. So that solves that problem. As I did say at the start of the show, we are going to give away to a member of the audience, we're going to give away afternoon tea for two people with Prosecco here in the Riverly. And, of course, we're going to give that to Ellie's mom, Michelle. See you again now. Hopefully bring the kids along as well. We're also going to give away dinner for two people with a bottle of wine in the River Club, and that's to the person who texted about listening during the midterm. Mammy, what's the KKK? Mammy, am I gluten intolerant? Ooh, frozen too. Hopefully, don't bring the kids when you're driving to that one, I would have thought. And that's pretty much our time here. That really absolutely shot past, didn't it? Thanks to Serena and Dean, of course. Always a pleasure. Jack L., who we listened to earlier on. One Horse Pony, who we'll be listening to in just a minute. Thanks to Lidl, of course, who supplied all the drink today. Sinead, Mary, Killian, all the staff here at the Riverlea Hotel. Shifra O'Donovan and Louise McKenna and all the team, Claire Collins, Niamh Hassel, Andy Knightley, Paul Buckland, Simon Tierney, Amory Kane, a heavily disguised Peter Malloy back at base. Ivan's up next on News Talk. We'll talk to you on Monday at 2 o'clock. Have a lovely weekend.
A night as this. song is like a lover's kiss. Sweet symbols in the moonlight. Do you mean that I will fall in love perchance? Isn't it romance?
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.